17. I pray for Exxon. During the late 1960s, Exxon Corporation erected a gas station near the three-pronged corner of Jarrettsville Pike, Paper Mill Road, and Sweet Air Road in Baltimore County, Maryland. The corner was nestled in thick woods, rolling hills, horse farms, and muddy streams that joined into the Gunpowder River and ran to the Chesapeake Bay. Modest aluminum-sided brick ramblers with long driveways and multi-acre lots dotted the region. In the early days after the Exxon gas station opened, new homeowners in the neighborhood topped up their wide-finned Impalas or their eight-cylinder muscle cars while commuting to jobs at restaurants or insurance offices or the industrial sections around Baltimore Harbor. In 1984, Exxon shut its first station in the neighborhood and opened a new one nearby, in the midst of the three-way intersection. Jacksonville Exxon, station number 2-8077, as it was known in the corporation's vast system of retail gasoline manufacturing and distribution. Suburban sprawl encroached as the years passed, and later, new subdivisions of brick McMansions with granite countertops and chef's appliances sprang up in the woods. Doctors and city executives refurbished old flagstone farms and transformed them into elegant country estates, each worth $1 million or more. The small ramblers from the 1960s seemed dwarfed by the larger new residences, but all of the area's homes rose steadily in value as the great American housing bubble inflated. By 2006, Jacksonville Exxon served a growing and economically diverse community in northern Baltimore County: professionals, small business owners, retirees, and middle-class commuters. All along, for more than three decades, a single family, the Stortos, had operated the Exxon-branded stations and auto repair facilities in Jacksonville. Day-to-day management had eventually passed down to a daughter, Andrea Loyero. Altogether, ExxonMobil sold about 14 billion gallons of gasoline to American drivers each year. Andrea Loyero reported to a downstream division of the corporation in Fairfax, Virginia, on the site of the old Mobil headquarters, which oversaw this retail system. There were almost 29,000 ExxonMobil-affiliated gas stations worldwide, about 14,000 of them in the United States. Market researchers conducted public opinion surveys after the merger and discovered that consumers valued and felt loyal to each of the Exxon and Mobil brands, and so they concluded that there was no reason to change any of the names or to create a combined ExxonMobil brand. More than 8,000 of the gas stations carrying one or the other name were owned and operated by independent distributors who paid ExxonMobil for the right to use the brands and who agreed to abide by the strict rules in franchise contracts. Another 1,000 or so stations were referred to within the corporation as Heritage Mobil stations, branded as Mobil and owned directly by the company. Some were operated entirely by ExxonMobil employees. Others were owned by ExxonMobil, but operated by an independent dealer under contract. There were also about 2,200 Heritage Exxon stations similarly organized. Jacksonville Exxon was a Heritage station owned by the corporation, but managed under contract by the Storto family. It had operated this way since it had opened. Running a gas station had become steadily more complicated since the 1960s. A typical retail snack and grocery shop under a red Exxon roof now generated as much as or more profit than gasoline sales did. Managing the retail business required expertise in credit cards, customer reward programs, and packaged food supply. Technology and regulation had at the same time transformed the gas station's physical plant into an intricate system of electronic monitoring systems, interconnected pumping systems, computerized inventory managers, alarms, and console boards. The blinking monitors set up behind the thick safety glass where the cashiers and station managers worked allowed ExxonMobil corporate managers to see from a distance, for example, when a particular dealer like the Stortos needed more gasoline so that deliveries could be scheduled efficiently. The gas station business had become infused with new technical jargon. What customers referred to casually as the gas pump was now known within ExxonMobil as the MPD, or multi-product dispenser. Its digital systems allowed a driver to use a single handle to pump multiple grades of gasoline. A modern gas station's electronics required continual supervision to ensure that the systems were operating properly and that gasoline sales were being captured and credited correctly. The scene at Jacksonville Exxon on the brisk winter morning of January 12, 2006, reflected this new complexity. On one side of the station tarmac that day, a contractor had arrived to fix a submersible sump pump that pulled the gasoline out of the ground and delivered it to the multi-product dispensers. The contractor was drilling holes in the asphalt. As this work proceeded, around 9 a.m., an ExxonMobil tanker truck also arrived to refill the station's 12,000-gallon underground storage tank. As the tanker driver directed gasoline down a thick hose into a storage vat, alarms rang out suddenly. They signaled that gasoline was leaking somewhere in the station's system. All of the multi-product dispenser islands at Jacksonville Exxon shut down automatically, cutting off befuddled customers in mid-sale. The tanker truck driver came inside and spoke to the cashier. "I think I overfilled the regular tank," he said, referring to the station's underground storage vat. Spilt gasoline from the tanker hose had set off the station's gasoline leak alarm system, he suspected. At every stage of its operations, from oil wells in Africa to filling stations in America, ExxonMobil relied on outside contractors to perform much of its technical work. Halliburton and Schlumberger operated oil and gas wells for ExxonMobil around the world. Companies specializing in offshore oil production leased their ships and crews to the corporation to drill wells in deep ocean water. Similar business practices had become the norm in ExxonMobil's retail gasoline division. Contractors, not corporate employees, serviced ExxonMobil station managers under fixed-price agreements. They mowed lawns, painted walls, and they also installed and repaired electronic and gasoline storage systems.